We touch and agree that anything is possible. And so in this room tonight is the potential to release the impossible to the world. Together tonight, we gather and we release the potential to release the miraculous to the world. All things are possible from this atmosphere tonight. We declare that this atmosphere over this region is dictated by this room tonight as we gather together. So we release into the atmosphere words of healing and strength and peace and wholeness. We come against all disease and we declare into the atmosphere that disease cannot abide in this region any longer. It'll have to hide itself if it wants to abide here. And when we find it, we'll kick it out. It can't stay here. Because when your word is released, it doesn't return void. It returns accomplished and prospered in the thing for which it was sent to do. So we release the word of the Lord into the atmosphere tonight. Declare into the atmosphere tonight, into this room, into the hearing of all those watching online, into the hearing of those that are here tonight. Don't you let go. Don't you let go. Don't you let go of the dreams that God has placed inside of you. Don't you compromise the word of God to accommodate your circumstances. Don't you compromise what God spoke into your spirit long ago to accommodate your current situation. Don't you compromise. The Lord is a standard bearer. He comes full of truth and grace. That means His standard remains the same even if we miss it. So Lord, we declare tonight, we take courage in your word, confidence in what you spoke before. Confidence in what you spoke before, that as you spoke it before, we fight the good fight of faith according to the prophecies previously made. We do not fight the good fight of faith according to our circumstances, but we fight the good fight of faith according to the word of the Lord that was spoken before we ever got to this place. Your word has been spoken before we ever arrived at the doorstep of this problem. And we fight according to your word spoken into our future. Your word spoken into our future declares that we are above and not beneath. We are accomplished. We are above. We are not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. We shall walk through this valley and come out the top. Declare these things. Declare these things in our life. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I was driving the other, just a second, fellow. I was driving the other day, and somebody was picking up some furniture from a very expensive furniture store. Let me see that microphone. And what happened? I turned the corner, and what was in the back of their car wasn't strapped down, and it fell out onto the road and destroyed it. And so I stopped and I helped them put the furniture that was destroyed, that obviously they paid a lot of money for. I picked it up and I put it in the back of the car. And what the Lord spoke to me says, people are driving around like this and they're not taking care. They're not securing their life in me. They're just driving and they're not securing the contents of their that cost that was costly. It was costly. And God's saying, listen, it's time to secure some stuff in our lives because it's costly. It's costly.
jealous for me. Blows like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are, how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. And he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
Won't you dance with me, your lover of my soul? To the song of old song. Won't you romance me, oh lover of my soul, to the song of old song. Won't you dance with me, won't you romance me, oh lover of my soul, to the song of old song.
How's everybody doing tonight? Good, good, good. Tell somebody hello tonight. Welcome to Church on the North Coast. So glad you're here this evening. God's working in people's lives tonight. Young man's going to become a pastor. And we're going to, come on, give him a... So I just wanted to share some personal ministry with him. And that's what we were doing. Hey, thanks for sharing. Thanks for singing that song. The Oh How He Loves Us song, and you sang the version of the song that was uncensored. Love that. Lots of people don't like the sloppy wet kiss part, but that's what I was raised on. They that's the original version. It's the explicit version, I guess. I appreciate the explicit version. We live in an explicit culture. And it's funny to me when we try to like take, like you said, my man, take the gospel and give it in truth. Sometimes, you know, you have to just kind of give it the way it is, and I can appreciate that about my man there. What are they going to share tonight? Something. What are we going to talk about? Yeah, Becca, we're sharing tonight on protecting the connection. We're going to talk about protecting the connection. We've been talking throughout the month about loving our kids on purpose, but it covers the entire gamut of, you know, just being intentional with our love. And tonight, Becca's going to share some of the resources that we've used to prepare some of the material, and just kind of so you can know where to go for some of these resources.
So there's some books, and I know there's a couple of the love languages for children in the back here in the sanctuary, in the little bookstore thingy. But I know the other ones, they're just resources that I have come upon. Well, the first one is Have a New Kid by Friday. I don't know if anybody's heard of that title. I haven't personally read that book. My sister Mary did, and she highly, highly recommended it. She used it on Dion, and it worked really good. So she even tried it.
Wow.
And then Dion's not watching, so we're good. On Becoming series. There's On Becoming Baby Wise, On Becoming Toddler, Child Wise, Teen. I've read every one of them, and they're really good. There's a lot of tools there that you can use and take from it. And, you know, like we talked the very first session about tools that you use in parenting, and the author is a Christian, and so he really has some good basic foundational truths that you can use and tools you can use in parenting. And then, of course, the five love languages that we taught about last time or the time before by Gary Chapman. And there's for children, there's for couples, there's just the good old five love languages. But this one specifically, it has so much in it. There's dealing with discipline. There's a chapter dealing with anger. There's a chapter dealing with single parents. So there's so much more than just the five love languages. There's a ton in that book. So I recommend reading it once a year. And then the Loving Our Kids on Purpose by Danny Silk. He's amazing. But this is kind of what we've taken from his teaching and kind of made it our own. So if you get that book, that's definitely...
Yeah, he has a series where he'll go over... We're actually following along, so what we're giving you is basically what we glean from his book, and we add, you know, our own version to it. So those are the resources, and you can get online. And some of those books we have, but some of them you can get online.
Go to the bookstore. It's cheap.
If you have your Bible, go with me to Luke 8, verse 10. Jesus here speaking, he says, and he said... To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it has been given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And then go with me to Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. And it says, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray, God, that your word would not return void. We thank you that it's such a powerful force. It's the most powerful force available to us. And so, God, we ask that you would hide us in the rock tonight, that the preaching and the teaching of your word would not be with the eloquence of man's speech or in the intelligence of man's mind, but it would be a demonstration of your spirit by your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So there Jesus says, he gets all of his disciples together and he says, listen, I want you to know, because of your connection to me, there is something made available to you. He says, to you it has been given to know the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom. So in Jesus, because of our connection to Jesus, there is this knowledge of something that others do not have. That there is something that we have, that we can go get that others can't go get because we have a connection with Jesus. He said there's mysteries in the earth that only you can solve. There's secrets to be searched out. There's things hidden. Almost, you ever, don't raise your hand when I ask you this, but you ever do an Easter egg hunt? Don't raise your hand. Because you're not supposed to. I don't know why. I was raised doing, you know, I colored eggs and all that. But I understand it's the Esther, God of us, all that. But you hide those Easter eggs. And inside of those Easter eggs, when we used to do them, there would be money. And so I would search really hard as a kid to try to find the Easter egg with the most amount of money. Now, don't tell anybody. But we secretly do an Easter egg hunt. It was a secret. It's a secret. We'll erase the video later. We don't celebrate the God of Esther. Don't do that. But the kids enjoy searching out the secret things. Sometimes we get in the kingdom and we think we're above searching out the secret things. But let me tell you, we are not. We are not. There is a part of us that has been created to search out an eternity that's hidden in the earth. And Jesus says, your relation to me, your connection to me, it gives you now insight, and it gives you a vision that others don't have. All because of this connection that we have. Others don't have it, but you who are connected to me, Jesus is saying, you have access to the realm of the King. The kingdom. The realm of the King, now you've been given access to. And then so our connection to Jesus gives us vision and gives us the ability to find the realm of the King that's hidden in the earth. And then he says, now look, when you gather together in my name, remember that other scripture that I read in Matthew, when you gather together like this in my name and you touch and agree. When you touch and agree, Bill, touch and agree with me. Now, when we touch and agree, the scriptures say, when we connect, suddenly something happens. Right? So, there's a connect. When we connect with Him, He gives us this mystery. Suddenly, we have this vision that others don't have. And then when we connect with one another, He comes. So, this connection suddenly now is tied to His connection. And when we connect, He comes and mysteries become available. But let me show you how we try to do it. We try to do it without this. We try to do it, you know what? I don't really need that. I don't really need that. That's not necessary. I don't really need to connect with you. I can do it all by myself. I don't need to maintain this connection. I only need to maintain this connection. That's why that foolishness that people talk when they say, I don't need to go to church. When they say that, you ever have somebody tell you, I don't need to go to church. I can have church all by myself. No, you can't. Because the scriptures clearly say, wherever there are or more. Now, there can be two, but there can't be one. There has to be at least two to agree. If we can't do this, then we can't do this. Mysteries aren't available unless this is happening. Connection, unless this connection takes place, heaven won't reveal itself. Heaven cannot be revealed until this connection gets stronger. But when this connection gets stronger, suddenly he says, that's why when we get together sometimes, like what you was feeling earlier, right? We get together and suddenly we are touching and agreeing in the atmosphere of the realm of the King. We are touching and agreeing down here in this realm, but the realm of the King is now made available and visible for us all. And we sense it and we know it, and suddenly faith rises and everything's possible. But then there have been other times where it's just not happening. If there's division in a room, or there's, you know, ought in a room, it's hard to make this connection, create this connection. Heaven can't come. See, we expect heaven, but neglect earth. We expect heaven, but neglect earth. How can we expect heaven when we neglect this? How can we expect heaven when we neglect our spouses? How can we expect miracles? Like, what we're going to have us a miracle, we're going to have us a revival meeting. But we're going to neglect our brothers and sisters, our family, our responsibilities that we know God's called us to connect to. How can we expect miracles to take place when we neglect the connection on the earth?
So, we're going to talk about protecting our connections. And in a world of so many choices, how do we teach our children to protect their connections? So kids are looking to us. They're looking the way that our relationship is. The way that you accept me in our relationship is the way that I'll be able to relate to others. The way that when I fail, I'll look to other relationships that same way, the way that you protect me. When I was 18, which you guys have already heard the story at the beginning of the series here, about when I was pregnant with Jeremiah. And my dad, he being like disappointing them, or because I basically lied to them. I did not protect that connection. I did not hold up my end of the connection, my end of the relationship. I lied to them. I hurt them. I disappointed them. I pretended like I wasn't having a relationship when obviously I was. But in the middle of that, he was able to keep his love on. And when your kids hurt you and make mistakes, which they will, because we know they're professional mistake makers, but when they do make these mistakes, our connection has to stay there. And when we went out, I shared the story a little bit, but I'm going to relate it differently. We went on vacation and we were in the ocean, and I was 18, so you know, you don't play as much when you're 18, but more than ever, when you know you're in trouble, think about it. It doesn't matter how old you are, and you can even look back to when you were in trouble. You want to hide in your room, right? Like, you're afraid. Oh my gosh, I don't want to see my mom and dad. I don't want to look at them. You know, you're afraid. There's fear. And so you lose that connection. But more than ever, when I was afraid to get close to my dad, because I knew that I hurt him, I knew that I broke that connection. And he said, let's go. You know, we went in the water and we were just swimming and we were playing together and we were, you know, jumping the waves on the rafts, and nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered at that minute. He didn't show me his feeling of you disappointed or you hurt me, you lied to me, and you know, none of that mattered. He protected that connection, and then through all of that, through the mistakes and through the hard times, that connection stayed there. It stayed together because his love was on. It was still on even while I was failing.
Connection creates heaven in the earth, and what connection does is it's connected to your heart. You can know a thing but not be connected to it. Right? You ever know something? In your mind you knew it to be true, but in your heart you were disconnected from it. And until your heart becomes connected, you will be disinterested. And what we're talking about tonight is making a connection with our Father, with our brothers and sisters, with our children. It's connecting to their heart. Because even though we know, and we know how to tell them right from wrong, unless we connect to their heart, it's all going to be for nothing. When you touch a person's heart, something happens. I worked for this factory when I was in college, and I worked there 3 days. It was 3 days. Okay, two and a half days. And I walk in the door to this factory, and they take me right down to my little station. Now I can see there's some more people down, way down there, and I can see there's some more people through that bay and into another bay and into another bay. And as far as you could see, there was this factory of stuff going out. But I was assigned to this location, and they sat me in front of it, and they told me, take these steel metal thingies and put them on this bigger steel metal thingy and just keep doing that for 8 hours a day. So that's what I said. Oh, dear Jesus. Now, for a minute there, I was like, listen, Troy, you just have to push through this. This job pays $12 an hour, and, you know, this is much, you know, you're in college, so this is going to be better. I tried to convince myself to attach my heart to the money. I tried to convince my heart to tell myself in my mind that this was the best thing to do. And so for 2 days, for a day and a half, I did it. Me and the guy next to me, I don't even know his name. I just remember us racing. And I did that for 8 hours. And I walked out of that first day, I don't even know what I'm making. Honestly, I didn't even know what was on the other end of it. I thought to myself, what is it? What are these little metal thingies? What did these things do? What did they go to? I don't know. And so because I didn't know, I had no connection. I had no heart connection to what I was creating. You know, we have to, in order for us to manifest heaven in the earth, there has to be a moment where there is a heart connection to what we're creating in the earth. Unless we all agree that heaven, you know, we all want heaven to come. How many want heaven to come to the earth in power and in strength? You don't want them to? That's what, maybe you should, don't. If you don't want heaven, something's wrong. Because the earth is getting bad. So maybe that's just a starting place. Just want heaven. Just want it because it's good. But it's possible, you know, we have to get attached. Our hearts must be attached to connecting to God and connecting to one another in order that, you know, there has to be intimacy. Wherever there's intimacy, something will be conceived. No? I always crack up at this. When teenagers get pregnant and parents go crazy, how did this happen? Well, you see, there was some intimacy at one point or another, and that intimacy normally leads to pregnancy. Because intimacy will always conceive something. So we wonder, where's heaven? Where's intimacy? Now here's what would have been great. Here's what would have been super. Elijah, you'll appreciate this. If the CEO of that company would have came down to the floor and said, hey, fellas, I just want to take you for a tour of the facilities. I want your heart to be attached. I want you to conceive in you the dream that's been conceived in me. I want to share with you the intimacy of knowing what we're creating. Walk me all the way down through there. Show me that at the end of the line, there is a wheelchair. Troy, what we're creating here is wheelchairs. We're making life possible for those who are disabled. I mean, really give it to me. You know, attach my heart to it. Because if you get my heart in it, you got my strength, you got my mind, you got my passion, you got everything. But you got to have my heart. If you don't have my heart, you don't have anything. I'll punch the clock and I'll punch out and I'll walk home and I won't care about nothing. I'll go to work, I'll punch the thing, and I'll give you my 8 hours, and I'll punch out, and I'll leave, and I won't ever give you another thought. And how many of us do this to the Father? We come in, we punch in, we sit down, we give Him an hour and a half, and we punch out, and we don't ever give Him another thought. There's no connection. And if there's no connection, there's no heaven. We want heaven, but we don't want connection. We don't want to be responsible to one another. Dear God, don't ask me anything personal. Don't ask me, you know, if I love my wife or not. Don't ask me if I'm being dishonest. Don't question my motives. Because I don't want that kind of connection. I don't want that kind of connection. Just give me some superficial stuff. Let me punch my clock. Let me come in. Let me sit down. Let me do my duty and let me leave. Let me disconnect my heart. So that way I don't have to be emotionally involved. I don't have to run the risk of being hurt. I can check out. I can't do that. Because love costs something. Love costs something. The kingdom costs something. We must connect. There must be intimacy. We can't have superficial relationships. They must run deep. They must run strong. Our relationship with our Father, it must be strong. It must be intimate. There must be this knowledge of Him. This I know the secrets of the Father. I know where He keeps His keys. I know what He likes to drink. I know what He had for breakfast. You ever get so close to Jesus, you knew what He had for breakfast that morning? I have. Yeah. You have too. That's just the way I put it.
So there's challenge points to our connections.
Obviously, I want to preach tonight. It's hard.
No,
it's really
he
hard.
Did this last night in Valley View too. He took like half of my time, so I'm just going to keep talking really fast and he won't be able to cut me off. I'm really good at it because I'm the third child and I know how to talk really loud and really fast so I can get my point. Because
I can feel it.
You haven't talked loud in my family when I was little, or else you didn't get it. So anyway, there's challenge points to our connections. And there's a few I'm going to talk about. So teen loneliness can be a big, big problem with our kids. And I said before, teenagers remind me of like preschoolers again, toddlers, so much because they have to be watched almost the same way. So remember that. And they have to be busy. Keep them busy. be in their world, know their love language, lay your life down again to figure it out. You have to stay on them almost like that. And then there's peer pressure. There's friends, there's school, there's media nowadays. There's so much out there that is in their world that you're just going to have to get in there and help them with that. There's personal pressure. There's lies that they'll accept. I'm your daughter, I'm your son, and everybody's looking at me, and they want me to do this. Growing up as a PK, you know, we felt that sometimes, me and my sisters, like, oh, they did this, and they do that, and you have to watch, and we have to be good. Oh, the pastor's kid did that, you know. But those are lies. Like, those are false things that kids take on themselves, but they don't need that. So those are challenge points in connections. Punishing with anger and withdraw. There's sometimes, and I mean, we probably have all found ourselves doing it in any relationship where, you know what, I'm going to punish you and I'm not going to talk to you. And that hurts when people do that to you. It's like, oh man. And that's a challenge point. We cannot do that with our kids or our relationships.
Or one another.
It hurts God. Our connections. It stops it right there. Other parent pressure. Sometimes other parents will put pressure on you. Well, look what they do, and they believe this, and they let their kids watch this, and they don't let them watch this, and they watch this, and they read this, and they don't read that, and all of those different areas, and they celebrate this, and they don't celebrate that. But you know what? You have to hear Holy Spirit for yourself. You have to have that connection from here to here so it can go from here to there. And that's a challenge point for parents. That, you know what? I've said so many times in my home, I'm not their mom.
She says it a lot.
I'm not their mom. But that's not fair. But I'm your mom. I'm not their mom. Remember, maybe so. Probably. You know, all of those ways that you use to not argue with them. So when you think about it, there's no perfect family. So don't be worried. Don't be upset. When you do make messes and we know how to clean them up, just get those love languages out again. Lay yourself down again. Fix and heal your connections. There's no perfect family.
None.
Think about it. We have the best dad in the whole world, right? Our Heavenly Father, our Daddy God. And look at us. We're not perfect children. He doesn't even have perfect children. And he's the best dad ever. If we're not perfect, he's the best dad
ever. Go ahead,
ever,
just all the parents in the house,
think about
just grab
that.
Some of
like,
that.
Like, you can just take that pressure off, right? Like, we can, okay, I can do this. I can parent better tomorrow.
Your behavior is not an indictment on your father. Neither is your children's behavior an indictment on you. Yeah. You can live with the shame. I lived with it for a long time. You know, you're like, you think you're like, you can't do that. You can't do that. Your behavior is not an indictment on your father. Therefore, their behavior is not an indictment on you. He loves you just the way you love your children. That's good. That's freeing, man. I throw your hands in the air, but like, thank you,
Jesus.
He's
a God of grace. He's a God of grace. And that's the way that we have to love our kids. I got to be graceful to them and give them God's grace. And sometimes when they do make mistakes and they do these, their professional mistake-making times, and there's fear comes, and you want to control them. And you get angry, and then anger comes, but there's no love there, so we can't do that. Think about freedom after failure. We can't control them. After they fail, you still can't control them. You can provide a safe place for them to make the right choices, but...
You want
okay,
me to go?
I still have time. Nope. I was watching the clock. It's still my time. I'm going on. I'm skipping you.
I could have preached this message all by myself tonight.
He needs
Normally, I let Becca create the message, and then I just kind of look at her notes, and I just determine when I'm going to jump in. But tonight, I was like, man, this right here is, yeah, I got all the points. So
my points are good too.
They're all great. They're great.
I'm just kidding. I didn't.
She's.
You can cut me off whenever you want to. Okay. So sometimes we have to prove to our kids by making sacrifices to them to keep and protect our connections. Mm-hmm. I don't like sleepovers. I like sleep. I'm an 8-hour girl. I don't know if, you know, I always, me and, like, when we think about camp, like, oh my gosh. Like,
I hate camp.
Only by God's grace. I have no idea how we get through a week of camp in, like, 4 nights, 5 days, and there's, like, you know, almost 100 kids there, and you're, like, in the middle of the woods, and, what's wrong with us? What are we doing? And so that's only by God's grace, but those are sacrifices, and you have to make those sacrifices to keep those connections. So, for example, I promised a few Joshua Kids girls that we would have a sleepover. And so they're on Facebook. They're just, you know, they're all technical and everything. So they're always messaging me, Miss Becca, when are we having our sleepover? Miss Becca, when are we having our sleepover? I'm like, oh my gosh, oh, I just want to sleep. Like, I want to sleep in. And so I promised them. So I got them and we did our sleepover. But while we were in the car, we were there talking and four girls in the car at the same time. And woo, it was very loud and whew, I was tired. It was Sunday after church, so I was done already. I already did a whole day of, you know, kids' church and stuff. So they were talking about their teachers and how I can't stand my teacher. Oh, I like my teacher, and I can't stand this teacher. And Precious in third grade, she couldn't stand third grade. It was just a really rough year for her. My teacher was mean. I didn't like her, and she really wasn't that mean. They just didn't connect. And that's what she knew. She said, but this year, I like my teacher, and I want to do good at school. And so I'm like, man, are you like 9 going on 25? You know, she figured out that, why don't adults do that? They know if they get us to like them, then we'll do better. And she even got it. So I don't know why adults don't get that, but hopefully we will.
We should get that.
We should get that.
That if we're nice to one another, we'll strive for one another harder. Right? If we're kind to one another and loving to one another, then we'll work for one another harder, stronger, with more passion.
Amen. So there's one particular little girl that was with us, and she's more like hardcore. She just kind of sat back, you know, and watched and check you out. Let me see. Let me just watch you if you're the real deal. And didn't say as much, at least in front of me, than the other girls, but she talked about her teacher, and she did not like her teacher. I can't stand that man. He's so mean. He never believes me. When somebody throws something, I throw it back, and he doesn't believe me. They did it first, and I always tell you, always the second person that gets caught. Don't you know that? You can't do that. You know, her friend's making fun of her. You're in the office every day, and you're always down there, and you're always in trouble. And she said, sometimes he makes me so mad, I feel like I want to just do something to him. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, like, obviously this teacher has not made a connection with her. And I thought, man, how are you getting in trouble? You're never getting in trouble at Joshua Kids. At camp, you're perfect. When you're over at my house, I mean, you're like a little angel. What's the matter? But that's the problem. There's no connection made. And so when love is the most important thing, when that connection is the most important thing, it's a different person. She's a different person. And so those connections are important.
There are no black sheep in God's family. There are no black sheep. And sometimes we feel like, you ever feel like a black sheep? Don't raise your hand. You ever feel like a black sheep? That I feel like it all the time. I'm like, man, I'm always running against the grain all the time. But there are no black sheep in God's family. The story in John 8, when the religious leaders bring the woman who the night before had spent the evening in the bed of a man who was not her husband. She gets caught the next morning. I mean, she's caught in the very act of it. They bring her and they put her in front of Jesus. And they just put her out there and they start hurling accusations at her. And the scriptures say it. You read it. It's found in John 8, 1 to 11. And it says that Jesus pretended like he didn't even hear him. She's laying on the ground. They're hurling accusations. Jesus pretends like he doesn't even hear what they're saying. He does something so amazing. He kneels down. She's laying on the ground. They're getting ready to throw stones at her and kill her. He then does something that they weren't able to do, but he's so amazing. He does two things at one time here. He kneels down and he looks at her and he's saying out loud for everyone to hear, right? First he writes on the ground something that only she knows. And then he says something to her. He says, he's looking at her, talking to them. He says, if you're without sin, throw the first stone. He connects with her. He gets down, stares her right in the eyes and says, you know what? I don't really care about what you did last night. I don't care about your sin. What I care about is why you're broken. I care about why you're broken. Let's deal with why you're broken. Let's deal with what really hurts you. Let's deal with the issues of your life that forced you into a strange bed last night. Let's deal with that. And he connects with her. Boom, got her. Got her. Then he says something, freaks everybody out. And this is how you know it's Jesus. This is how you know it's Jesus. Because Jesus satisfies two things at one time. The oppressed and the oppressor. And he sets them both free. Who can do that but God? Who can set the oppressed free and the oppressor free all in one sentence? Just say, hey, and if you're not broken in your life, if you don't have issues in your life, if you don't look at her and see your own brokenness, your own need for a Savior, go ahead, throw a rock at her. And what do? He makes a point of reference right now and says, all I care about is connecting to you, connecting to you. You can do with it what you want. But he, intimacy, he pulls them all in. And he says, listen, this is what creates heaven and the earth. Connection. I'm going to connect with you, and I'm going to connect with you, and heaven's going to come. And then he tells her, all right, there's no one left. Go and sin no more. If we want to see heaven manifested, we've got to make an effort to connect, to get down, stare into the face of the person that's broken. Maybe that's the eyes of your child. Maybe that's the eyes of a mother. Maybe that's the eyes of a father. But there has to be a moment where you get down in their face and you connect with them. This moment where there's this transparency of pain. It says, I know. Let's not talk about why you're mad. Let's not talk about why you're mad. Let's talk about why you're hurt.
So when those times come, the hurtful times, have we invested in them? Have you given, have you poured into their love language? When they are failing, that's when they need it the most. Because then when you have already invested, when you've already deposited into them, you could make that withdrawal. Mm-hmm. They'll be strong. That connection will be able to make it through the failure and the hard times. When I'm failing and when you're failing, think about this. When you're failing, you need your daddy God right next to you. That's when you need him the most, right? That's when we need him the most. And so when our kids are failing or people around us are failing and they're messing up, don't disconnect. That's not the time to disconnect. That's the time to
strengthen your
strengthen
connection.
It and make it, I love you. No, I love you. Nothing else matters right now. Rules, they're all gone. Everything. Only thing that matters right now is this love connection that we have. Nothing else. This is what's important. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you can't guide and you can't discipline them and work through those problems. There has to be rules in the right kind of way. But right at that moment, they need to know that you're connected to them. The way that our daddy God holds us when we're failing, we have to let our kids feel that same connection.
His connection is so strong. It's so strong. I shared a few weeks back about the tow truck. Jesus is a tow truck. He is strong enough to pull you out of the biggest ditch you've ever been in. There was a tree that used to sit on the southmost portion of the campus. Some of you remember it was a dead tree. And we were getting ready to do Trip to Hell. This was just, not long ago. And me and Louie were out there working.
That's the first mistake, Louie and him together.
Huge tree, right? And it's laying up against the wires, Mike. It's up against the wires, and it's a big tree. It's a big tree. It's not one of them little ones, but I had cut down some trees of the city, so I felt fairly confident that I could notch this tree and drop it in the right direction. And plus, I figured, what's the worst that could happen? We just knock out the power of the shopping plaza across the road. No big deal. And so, I talked Louie into it. After some talking to, I said, Louie, we can do it, man. Come on, where's your faith? Don't you believe in me? So I started giving him a, come on, man. And so he's like, all right, let's do it. So he gets in the truck. We get the church truck, is F-350, big truck. And Rob's around, but we don't have any rope. We need some rope. We need something that we can attach to the tree, attach to the truck. When I cut through the back of it, I'm going to cut out a big notch, but then I'm going to cut through the back of it, and then we're going to pull it with the rope because it's going to be attached to the truck, and then it's going to pull the tree down, and life's going to be awesome. Well, about midway through it, they see, a lot of people are starting to gather now because they realize what's about to go down. Now, the wind is blowing in the wrong direction. It wasn't bad enough that the weight of the tree was to the wire, and the wind blowing to the tree was blowing into the wire. But I figured, you know, Mike, if I could cut a big enough notch in there, then I could come through the back of that, and it would fall down. We just needed some rope. And so Rob was there, and I said, Rob, you got any rope? He said, yeah, I got some rope. And he brings us some paracord. Now, paracord, from what I understand, is really, really strong. I was wrong. It's really, really strong, but the tree is stronger. So Louis climbs up into the tree, puts this paracord around there, ties it to the back of the truck. Louis gets in the truck. I'm cutting the tree. I'm the one in danger here. I got to run. Louis just got to drive. So I start coming through the back of it, and I'm like, drive, 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 drive. And then suddenly the tree pinches the saw. Now I'm afraid. And Louis goes to drive, and the rope breaks. The rope was not strong enough to pull the force of the tree in the direction that it needed to fall. Wind's blowing, but the tree is standing. I'm praying in tongues. Louis, go to Home Depot and get a strap that's strong enough. We need something strong enough that can pull this tree in the direction it needs to go. Louis gets in the truck. He drives like he's crazy. Goes over there. He said he walked inside. He said, I need a strap now. So they either run, he gets a strap, and he brings it back, and then he brings it back, and I throw it up in there, and I tie it down, and we bring it, and it's too short. I need another strap, Louis. Okay, and he runs back, gets another strap, comes back, we put the strap together, put it on it, and I said, drive, and he drives as fast as he can. Now, this is where the funny part happens, because he drives so fast, and he doesn't realize that when the branches of the tree come down and hit the ground, it's like an anchor in the sand, It was great. Louis, like, the truck went forward. Louis bounced up, hit his head on there. That was the greatest part of the story. But what happens when you try to pull something that's stronger than the force connected to it? You know, we have to understand something. I really hope we all understand that the culture in which we live, It's so strong. It's so heavy. It's such a force. It's a force that unless we have a strong enough rope to pull it, it's not going to happen. Unless our connection to the force is stronger than the weight of the force, we will never be able to bring revival the way it needs to come. Our connection has to get deeper and stronger. It has to be so strong that when I throw it around you, and it doesn't matter the weight of the force that's pulling that way, the weight of the force, the strength of the connection of love that I have that is stronger than the weight of the force that's opposing me. The violent in the spirit must come alive. There has to be this aggressive connection to heaven where we understand what's at stake here is heaven and the earth. What's at stake here is heaven and the earth. What's at stake is cancer. What's at stake is the living and the dead. And unless we make up our mind to love so strong, that doesn't matter what happens, you cannot offend me enough to break my love connection to you. I don't care what you do to me. You can spit on me. You can lie about me. But you will not break my love connection to you because I realize that there is something at stake here and it's life. It's life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus. And unless I make it stronger than your offense to me, it won't manifest. Heaven won't come. How many are ready to live that way? I mean, really sell out and say, I don't care what happens. My love is going to be so strong. Are you done? Okay. She just gave up. She waved the white flag. Really dangerous. Okay, let me gather myself. So how strong is your connection to God? How strong is your connection to your family? How strong is it? The story of Jesus there bowing and connecting to the woman. What he was saying was this. What he was saying was, you deserve to die. Have you ever deserved just penalty for sin? Have you ever I'm guilty. I am guilty as charged. She was guilty. She was caught in the act. She was guilty as charged. They had every right to kill her. They had every right to do it. She was red-handed caught in the act, it says. I was in high school, and there was this beloved teacher. And if you're watching, Mrs. Hoagland, I love you. Now, Mrs. Hoagland, she was a grammar teacher. She taught advanced composition, English. And she was known to be the hardest teacher. People ran from her class. There was one class you had to take as a freshman, and people ran. They hated it because she was so hard. Nobody wanted to be, and nobody ever took advanced 1, 2, and 3 unless you were like some wizard, you know, some genius. You didn't take those courses. Nobody wanted to be in there. And I remember sitting in freshman composition, and there was this big fella in the back. Big fella. And I was in the front, and Mrs. Hoagland was at the board, and she was at the chalkboard. It's funny, it was a chalkboard. What's a chalkboard? And the big fella in the back starts throwing paper at her. He's wadding up spitballs, and he's throwing them at Mrs. Hoagland. Now, I don't know why in this moment. Well, I do now, looking back, knowing that, you know, even then Jesus was working in me. But something came over me. My alligator mouth wrote a check my lizard tail couldn't cash. And I said to that big fella, I said, his name is Russell Samples. Russell, if you're watching, I love you. I said, Russell, you throw another piece of paper at that woman, I'm going to come back there and shove him down. You know, something real aggressive. Something real. Something that would start a fight real fast. You know what I mean? I don't remember the exact words. And so he stands up, and this is when I know my account was empty, because he stands over top of me. I'm like, oh, really? Really? To let me get up. So I get up. Now, Mrs. Hoagland's watching it, but she's just a small frame little woman. You know, you're not going to get in the middle of a fight between, you know. And now we're walking towards the door. And in my mind, I'm thinking, how do I get out of this? All of these people watching, something's got to go. The only thing I got is surprise. So I'm going to have to hit him first and hit him hard and hope he falls. And so, you know, I get to the door. Now, Mr. Ashford was right next door. Mrs. Hoagland was here. And so as soon as I get to the door, I just turn with all I got and I give it to Russ. And Russ doesn't fall. Russ just kind of does one of these. And he keeps coming, and now it's just, you know, you're just full on. And this is fighting, and you know, and eventually Mr. Ashford comes over and he breaks it up. And we both go to the office, and I get put in one office, Russ gets put in another office, and I'm sitting there. Now I know I'm guilty. I started the fight. I threw the first punch in the fight. It's obvious I am guilty as charged. It's football season. Now I'm going to be suspended, and it's over. I'm sitting there thinking my season is over. I'm not playing football anymore. I'm going to get suspended for a long time. She sat there and watched me. He sat there and watched me. Everybody knows I'm the one that did it. I'm guilty. I deserve punishment. I sit there and I'm stewing on this, and in from behind me walks Mrs. Hoagland. Principal sitting right there. And I don't remember her exact words, but she stood. I'm sitting down. She stands in front of me. She says something like this. If you suspend him, I'm going to quit. Instantly, a connection was made. For the rest of my 4 years in high school, I not only took advance 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I aced them all. I was the worst kid ever. I failed Spanish because I wouldn't get up in front of the class and speak. That's funny. Where was all of this then? I took every class she offered. I took every one of them, and I wanted her to be so proud of me. I wanted to honor the relationship and the love. I'd go to her house for spaghetti dinners. I'd spend my free time going to her classroom and grading papers for her. All because she stood between me and judgment. All because she connected to me. And I just ask you, are you willing to stand between judgment deserved and the accuser? With your children, the people in this room, your spouse, are you willing to do it? I won't let you. I won't let you. Even though I know what they've done is wrong, even though I know the offense, I know it. I know they deserve it, but I'll stand between it. I'm going to stand in the gap, and I'm going to create a connection that's so strong that no matter what situation they find themselves in ever, no matter how deep the ditch they fall into in life, my love will be strong enough to pull them out of it. Because Jesus' love was so strong, pulled you out. I want to ask you tonight to make a commitment to love stronger. To connect. Connect. Make sparks. Make sparks with your children. Make sparks with your spouse. Make sparks with your brothers and sisters. Connect. Don't allow there to be a moment where the connection isn't strong. Don't allow offense to come between you and weaken the love. Allow them to lay in the ditch and suffer. Don't let them. Come on, stand on your feet tonight, church. With me tonight, I just want you to bow your heads and just pray. Jesus, I want my love to be stronger. Come on, make a covenant tonight. Jesus, I want my love to be stronger for you. While I sleep at night, I want you to visit me. I want you to show me those who are in the ditch, who need the strength of your love to pull them out. I want my love to be so strong, Jesus, tonight. I want it to be so strong that I can stare down death in the face and declare that you have no business messing around with those that I'm connected to. You cannot touch those I'm connected to. Because the force of my love is so strong. It's so connected to Christ. My love is so strong. Make it so strong, God, that heaven comes easily. Oh, make heaven come quick. Quick, make heaven come so easy. As we grow our love for you and we grow our love towards our brothers and sisters and our love towards the earth, Lord, make heaven come quickly. I release heaven into your life now. Heaven in this room. Heaven over Julie Baker. Heaven over Elena. Heaven over Lucy. Declare you are the healed of the Lord. Heaven over Shana. Release heaven into your life. Come on, release heaven tonight into somebody's life. Release it into your life. I'm so connected to God right now. I release heaven into your life. My love connection is so strong. I release heaven to the earth tonight. Cancer, go. Break the back of poverty. Poverty, go in Jesus' name. Strength of my connection to heaven brings it here now. Brings provision to the earth where it's needed. Bless you. We love you, Jesus. Teach us to love stronger. In Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open. You can come and worship. The altar workers are going to receive the offering. I forgot to do that. So please make sure you continue to give to our ministry. We need your support so desperately to continue to preach the gospel all around the world. If you're watching online, we pray that you would go click up in the right-hand corner and contribute to this ministry. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week. Let him talk through you. Altars are open. You can come and worship.